Could we please open this meeting with a moment of silence, and we'll follow that with the Serenity Prayer. Serenity Prayer.
God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I'm an alcoholic, and my name is Wes. Hi, friends. I'm an active member of the Long Branch Group in Toronto here, and being an active member tells you that I am grateful for what this program has given me. By way of qualifying, let me say that way back, quite a number of years ago, I borrowed $1,000 from my mother-in-law to purchase a house that I paid $13,300 for. Now, you have to do an imagination here what the dollars were, so multiply everything by a 10 factor. So you would say I paid $140,000 for it. I made regular first and second monthly mortgage payments for 22 years, sold the house, and still owed $40,000 on it. Do you think my life was unmanageable? And this early in the meeting, I've already done what I do a lot. I failed to follow the directions. I was to ask you to have in the moment of silence, think of a little gratitude for the 70 years of AA that and recovery that has gone on before us and for those who have led the way for us. So if you would just keep that in your thoughts as well. And now I'm going to try to get on back on track. And in keeping with that, the theme of this meeting is carrying the message to the older alcoholics. Now, that doesn't mean to say you have to be an older alcoholic to carry the message. I just want to read a little portion, one of my favorite portions of the big book. If you haven't got one, I highly recommend it. It's a wonderful learning process. Page 44 under We Agnostics. I'm happy to say that it doesn't say you agnostics, it includes me, as all of AA does. Just to, in Toronto here, it may be different everywhere else, but in Toronto here we have a beginner's pamphlet that has 20 questions put out by John Hopkins University, and they're all very valid. However, our big book keeps it simple. On page 44, it says, if when you honestly want to, you find you cannot quit entirely, or if when drinking, you have little control over the amount you take, you are probably alcoholic. I'm an alcoholic. And if I'm not, I'll do till one comes along. Okay. Now, so I think a reminder that we're not here just because we're over 60. We're here because there seems to be a special need for a lot of folks out there who are suffering from our disease, some of them in recovery, and some of them not in recovery. In the Toronto area and other places I've heard of, sometimes, for instance, in senior homes, if you take a few drinks, everybody sort of laughs and giggles at you. But if you let people know you're an Alcoholics Anonymous, you're sort of shunned. And so we want to turn that around, and we need to carry that message wherever we can in that area and in a lot of other areas. The folks that we have today are going to share some of their experience, strength, and hope in that area. I'm very nervous here, and the one thing in Alcoholics Anonymous that I've been able to appreciate probably more than anything else is the laughter that we share in these rooms. And I'm going to tell you a little incident that happened around our house. First, you need to know my wife is an Al-Anon. She's one of them black belt Al-Anons, and she's here today, and she allows me to say this. One day she had one of her Al-Anon friends, and they were sitting in the living room having coffee and chatting, and I was in the office, and I was reading a little portion of my big book, and I had the need to refresh my coffee, so I went through the living room into the kitchen. And as I went through the living room, I heard Jean say, "Oh, yes, Wes is a model husband." Well, you can bet your butt that the belly went in, the shoulders went back, and a little bit of the John Wayne stroll, you know, went in, got my coffee, and same thing on the way back. Got back into the office, and As I've been taught, I always have my dictionary near me when I'm reading the big book. So I got the dictionary. I looked up the word model. It said a small copy of the real thing. They sure have a way, those Al-Anons, is bringing us back to reality, don't they? Thank God. Oh, my. Okay, we're going to get on with the reason we're here. Enough of the West Show. Let's get on with the program. We have three speakers, and they're going to share for 20 minutes each, or up to 20 minutes each. You'll have an opportunity after the meeting to come up and ask questions or share with any of us here if you wish. And they've agreed to share in the order they're listed in the program. Now, that's four alcoholics all agreeing on one thing. So without further ado, I would ask that you welcome Ron B. from Wisconsin.
Thank you, Les. Good morning, everyone. My name is Ron, and I am an alcoholic. Being on this panel is something else. And the last panel, they said something about guys breaking up. And if I do, please forgive me, because this means an awful lot to me. I'm glad you didn't hear that. For the newcomer, I'm not going to give much of my story, but for the newcomer, I drank heavily and steadily for 46 years without trying to stop. And when I did stop, through the grace of God, power of Alcoholics Anonymous Fellowship, I have not taken a drink since October 30th, 1997. I was 64 years old at the time I stopped, and that's why I was sober over 60. And in 2000 at the Minneapolis International, I went to a panel called The Same Thing, Carrying the Message to the Older Alcoholic, and I met Stan and Marion B. from gorgeous state of Hawaii, who are here today, and I became very interested. And I found that I think that the fellowship is really missing the older alcoholic who is called by treatment counselors late onset. These are the people that do not start to drink until they are over the age of 60. And when they do, they have a real bad time of it. And I find that in AA, we kind of not go out to look for these people because they do not come to our meeting. They don't come in the door of AA saying, yeah, I want to get sober. Think about it. Because I know in my area, in Wisconsin, that in all the meetings I went to in 7 years, and normally I was going to four, five, and during one period with a sponsee, I went to 70 meetings in 90 days. Only once did I see a person over 60 come into the first meeting that wasn't court-ordered to do so. And it turned out that she was also an early onset, like I was, drank all her life, also put me in my place because she also drank for 46 years. And she is still sober today also, by the way. But I find that we are missing that boat. That's what I really think. And that's why this is called Carrying the Message to the Older Alcoholic. And I would like, you know, to have people try to do that. Because I brought with me 164 pages. And I find that Chapter 5 deals with four steps. And Chapter 6 deals with seven steps. And Chapter 7 deals with one step, the 12th step, the whole chapter. And it says, practical experience shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity, from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics. And there's other references to that, too. Bill W., in his own story, says that if we don't grow spiritually, that we are in danger of drinking again, and if we drink, we die, and that's the way it is with us. So here's an opportunity to carry the message to the people that don't know about it. And Then further on, it says also that if you don't know where they are, it says perhaps you're not acquainted with any drinkers who want to recover. You can easily find some by asking a few doctors, hospitals. So, yeah, you can find them. And when you do, you'll find that the late onset are very receptive to recovery, because they know they've got a problem and they can't stop. But they are very, very receptive. And to that end, there is a group that meets in a suburb of Milwaukee called West Allis, was started 2 years ago, July of 2003. And as a matter of fact, the secretary of that group is here today. And it was started for people, newcomers, over the age of 60. And they named themselves, would you believe this, with tongue-in-cheek humor, they named the group Depends on You. And in that group, there was one lady that was 81 years old at the time, who was a newcomer. Right? And subsequently, she wrote a story for the Grapevine, and it was published in the February issue. Now, I have heard good AAs with strong programs tell me, Ron, they're 80, who cares? Now, I have heard AAs say that. Well, I'll tell you, they care, and their families care. Because she wrote that story and probably was submitted probably in October, if I remember correctly, and it was going to be published in February. And she passed away in December. She had 1 year, 2 months, and 11 days of sobriety. And you know who knew that? Her family. Because it was mentioned at her funeral. Now, there are some handouts in the back, and those are the two pages are part of the eulogy that was given, where they give credit to Alcoholics Anonymous. The family gives credit to Alcoholics Anonymous, and also the letter that one of her daughters wrote to her upon her occasion of 1 year sobriety, when she actually spoke at an AA conference in Milwaukee in October 2004. So it does matter. It does matter. No matter what age, it's good to get sober. Now, that she is not the only one. There were other stories submitted, but only that one was the only one published. I wrote something for that same issue. I did not have it in my mind to blow my horn, but they titled it Going to Any Lengths. What I was doing, really, with that story was telling that I felt there was a need to reach the newcomer older alcoholic. And there are great books. The February issue of the Grapevine is back there. Take one if you want. These were donated by the groups that I attend. There was five. Each donated $25, and my wife's home group donated $25, and that bought 120 copies of the February issue of the Grapevine. So please take one and read the section Sober Over 60. There were other stories that were submitted, but Audrey's is the one that I think is important, because she just epitomized what it means for an older person to get sober and stay sober. Now, as I said, there are other people in that group that have stayed sober. You know, there's a lot of people with 2003, 2004, and there's several now with 2005 sobriety birth dates, all of them over the age of 60. Except we're starting to attract younger people, which is neat. The meeting is really growing. Younger people are coming to it, and it's really a neat. That's God working, because certainly, you know, now we're having, 15 or so, maybe more, at each meeting, and again, there are special needs for this, because the older people don't like to go to nighttime meetings. And I'm not going to go into a lot of elaboration, because all of it is in the February issue of the Grapevine in my story. But the poor eyesight, all the chronic things that go wrong with older people prevent them from going to meetings. And so daytime meetings, of course, cuts down the amount of meetings they can go to. And a lot of them can't drive. and certainly won't drive at night because of poor eyesight. So therefore, that cuts down the opportunity for them to go to meetings. So there's the problem. How do we get these people? If we find them, how do we get them to a meeting? Now, the important thing to remember is that the people in this group came from a small geographical area. They came from an area perhaps of about 3 or 4 square miles. And at the time, there were about, in 2003, there were about 10 or 12 newcomers. Now, some of them, and this is one of the hazards of being an older alcoholic, you can't become an old-timer. Right? You don't have to drink, but you got a real good chance of dying. So it's very hard. I'm going to have a hard time getting a 20-year pin, I'll tell you that, right? But so you see that how many more are out there? How many more are out there? This is just a small geographical area. And these people were found with the help of the Milwaukee County Department on Aging, who gets calls from the relatives saying that my mother is falling down drunk or she's hurting herself, or my neighbor is not, I haven't seen my neighbor in 2 days or something like that. And so the Milwaukee County does investigate that sort of thing. And then in cooperation, they steer them to an AA meeting, which is neat. And that's really where that's really how that meeting is growing, is cooperation with the Department of Aging. So I wish there were younger people here to go out there and really try to get these people and get them into AA, because we have to go find them. And that's what they used to do. Remember, see, what I read before, you know, if you don't know where they are, ask somebody and then go find them. What about that guy that had spent money for subway fare? He wanted to talk to a drunk, and he found a guy in a hospital, and he stayed sober himself. That's the whole point. That is what I found. That doing this has really given me the whole benefit of the AA program in a relatively short period of time. Even now, I am faced with chronic issues that attributed to the elders, but I'm serene. My serenity is hard to shake because I'm in a good spiritual condition. And I owe it all, or I've heard people say, I can blame it all on you. But I just am just totally, totally grateful to the fellowship and to the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. So if you would, read Audrey's story. You'll understand why it's necessary. You can read my story on some of the things that I found, and you can see relate to your own areas on that. It's not my story. It's what I have done, tried to do to carry the message. And you can relate. Bring it back to your own areas and districts and do something about it. That's all that I think that has to be done. I wish you all another 24 hours of sobriety and serenity, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Ron, so much. I forgot to do something because there are so many Americans here and it is their tradition. I forgot to tell you my sobriety date. And if you think I'm bragging all right, but I'm bragging on the power of you people and the program. My sobriety date is June 8th, 1979. So as we carry on here, no, please no. It's just that I know that's commonplace in the U.S., and I want everybody to be comfortable, and a little bit of ego. We're going to carry on now, and the next speaker we have is Michael M. from California.
Hi, my name is Michael and I'm an alcoholic, and I'm really happy to be here and very nervous. I just want to share how grateful I am to be given this opportunity. It's an honor to be asked and an honor to be here. I don't know if Doug R. is in the audience, but I want to thank him very much for asking me. Before I begin, I also want to toot the first international annual Sober Over 60 conference. It's going to be held in Kailua, Kona, Hawaii, in 2006, May 18th through the 21st. Registration forms are on the back table, so please help yourself and everybody come. There'll be a second annual. And also, I don't know if these are on the back table, but I don't know if most of you know about the AA for Older Alcoholic pamphlets that are available to all of us. I distribute them often in Brea, California, where I'm from. My sobriety date is January 29th, 1995. And thank you. And I would not be here and likely wouldn't be alive if not for AA and all of you. Carrying the message to older alcoholics. How do we do that? Why is it an issue? Why is it more important today than ever before? Those are some of the questions I'd like to pose solutions for during my time with you today. The other part of this, for me, is the responsibility pledge. I'd never heard of it, never heard the pledge before, up until a few years ago. Didn't really know what it meant, didn't understand it even when I heard it, didn't understand how it would affect my life. I am responsible when anyone, anywhere, reaches out for help. I want the hand of AA always to be there, and for that, I am responsible. Now I understand what the pledge means. It's a huge part of my recovery. Without it, I might not be in recovery. The more I give away to others, the better and better my sobriety becomes. First, I'd like to share a little of my experience, strength, and hope in how I, a small town girl, used to be, from Fairhaven, Massachusetts, happened to receive the good fortune and grace to be standing in front of you today at the 70th anniversary 2005 International Convention of Alcoholics Anonymous. Let me say one thing loud and clear. It wasn't me who did it, because left to my own devices, I'd more than likely be dead today, or worse, still drinking and blacking out with every episode, living in the street and doing things I never wanted to do. The only way I could be standing before you today is because of my relationship with Alcoholics Anonymous and you and my higher power. Relationships I didn't have for most of my life, but today I'd be lost without them. A woman who participated in a recovery group that I facilitated a year or so ago said to the group one day, "Alcohol will take you everywhere you don't want to go." And it did me. My father was an alcoholic, so were my uncles, my male cousins, and eventually my younger brothers. I thought everyone was like us, but I knew something was very wrong from a very early age. And I didn't like it. I didn't like the loudness, the cleaning up after in the morning, the absences, the lack of money for food and clothes, the fighting and worse. Somehow I knew, even that young, that the drinking had something to do with it. And I swore, you all know that story, don't you? I would never, ever end up like that. I could bet my life on it, and I did. Now, I was a kid and then a teenager and then an adult who was full of fear, fear of everything, people, places, and things. The only time I wasn't full of fear was the, yep, you guessed it, when I was drinking. I no more could have stood here years ago and done what I'm doing than I could have flown from the top of a building. When I was 14 years old, I went to work as a volunteer in a Catholic nursing home. Despite the bedpans, I fell in love with the population. When I was 15 and a half, I went to work for a small nursing home run by one woman. She only had one full-time person working per shift, and I used to work the 3 to 11 shift after school every day. I didn't realize it until years later, but she was also an alcoholic. Tell me, how is it we're always attracted to these people? And then guess what? I married. Yep, but we're so much fun, aren't we? Anyway, I loved the elderly. What impressed me so much about this population was that people didn't seem to care about them, and I wanted to. I saw that just smiling at them brought them so much joy. I had one patient who was blind, and the doctor prescribed for him one shot of whiskey every night. He always finished all his supper so that he could get his little medicinal boost every night. The years went by. All the things I said I would never do, I did, in triplicate. At one point in my life while I was living in California, I went home to Massachusetts for a visit. My youngest brother had joined Alcoholics Anonymous and wanted me and my mother to come to a meeting that he was the secretary of. Well, I went, and to cover up the fear that I felt, my ego took over. I had a real strong ego. I'm sure none of you can relate to that. I became, oh, so much better than any of those people who were sitting in that meeting, laughing and talking loud and having what appeared to be a wonderful time. I wondered if they were high on something. Yeah, they were. They were high on being sober. But I didn't know that then. When my brother would say to me, "Sis, it's amazing. I don't even get mad at the people on the road anymore when I'm driving my truck. I don't believe how much AA is changing my life." I'd say, "Yeah, right." I patronized my brother, patted him on the head, and couldn't wait to get back on the plane to California to have another drink. And I said, "I told you so," when he went back out. Just one of the ways that I hurt the ones I love when I was drinking. Finally found myself living in Mid-Coast, Maine after many geographics, including 18 years in California. I went to college for the first time in my life in 93, 2 years of classes later, and I signed up for my first substance abuse class. This instructor was really smart. He knew what he was doing, even if I didn't. He said to all of us, "I will give you one extra point on your final grade for every 12-step meeting you attend and write a one-page paper on." Now, my perfectionism as an alcoholic was alive and well, and I really loved getting A's, so I went right to my first meeting. It was actually the second meeting, because my brother's was the first. I walked in, I was late, and I walked in the middle of this woman who looked like she had stepped off the cover of Vogue, talking about lying in bed in her own vomit, urine, and feces, holding a loaded and cocked gun to her head in front of her teenage children. And I thought she was lying. But something hooked me, and I kept coming back. I was asked early on to make coffee, and for the first time in my life, I felt like I belonged to something, and I wasn't afraid. And I kept coming back. I didn't do it easy. I began to trudge the road of happy destiny, but it wasn't happy all the time. I'm not an easy learner, so I had lots of lessons to learn, and they came right back if I didn't learn them the first time. But I'm still learning them, and I'm doing it sober. Maine has a very special place in my heart, and I continue to do service of all kinds because it felt so good to be outside of myself, and I've made some wonderful friends. Let me tell you why it's essential to carry the message to older alcoholics. I did a little research yesterday online to see if alcoholism in the older alcoholic was as prevalent in Canada as it is in the United States, and found some wonderful information online that told me Canada is very aware of the problem of older adults and alcoholism. The National Advisory Council on Aging says that between 270,000 and 405,000 seniors are experiencing problems living as a result of alcohol use in Canada. Universally, problems with alcohol in older adults is not easily noticed and can escape detection when traditional indicators such as job loss, DUIs, breakup of family, etc., are used. Because older adults have already been through all of that. They don't have jobs to lose. They don't have families to break up. They don't have DUIs to get because they can't drive anymore. Only when neighbors report not seeing them recently would older adults come to the attention of social services and law enforcement. It's estimated that between 10 to 18% of medical patients in general and 44% of psychiatric inpatients have a problem with alcohol, untreated. As many as 70% of hospitalizations among the elderly for illness or injury are alcohol-based. Can you imagine the billions of dollars that would be saved if we could reach those people? Most healthcare providers don't think to screen for alcohol abuse when an older adult comes into the emergency room with a broken arm, broken hip, leg, broken nose, bruises from falling. Healthcare providers who screen for alcoholism may be able to connect problems with diabetes, liver, hepatitis, pancreatitis, hypertension, arrhythmia, pulmonary problems. All of those, if screened properly, can be attributed to alcoholism. Too often this is not done. In addition, healthcare providers may often make decisions about alcohol abuse based on their own personal alcohol usage, not realizing that older adults metabolize alcohol very differently from younger adults. In one study, I got this online yesterday, this is a quote, in one study of women who attended AA support groups, over 50% of them had approached their physician about their drinking only to be told, you couldn't possibly have an alcohol problem. Older adults are less likely to report their alcoholism because they view it as embarrassing and a moral failure on their part. That stigma that some of us have seen or experienced firsthand, it really affects this age group. They think we all ended up on a curb with a brown paper bag and a bottle of Thunderbird. Anybody remember a bottle of Thunderbird? Another study I found online reports that there are approximately 13,749 eligible programs that provide alcohol abuse services in the United States. Only 2,374 specialize in older alcoholics. That's not a lot. Widowers 75 years of age and older have the highest alcoholism rate of any age group or population sector in the United States. I'm going to cut to the chase. This is about carrying the message to the older alcoholic. In 2000, I received a bachelor's degree, became certified in substance abuse counseling, came back to California 5 years ago because of children and grandchildren there. In the last few years, I was very fortunate to begin working with the senior population again as a social worker and with seniors who are alcoholics. Concurrently, at the direction of my sponsor, always, I became a GSR and then a DCM and began attending area service committee meetings and area assemblies. I also began attending PRASA and participated in my first PRASA in 2003 and a forum in California. During that 2003 PRASA, which is Pacific Regional Pacific Regional Alcoholics Anonymous Service Assembly, I was fortunate enough to be able to attend the very first roundtable. I thought it was. Apparently it's not. Apparently it was in Hawaii first, or Milwaukee, to be presented by a couple named Marion and Stan B. of Hawaii and Ron from Wisconsin. The subject, cooperation with the elder community, an ad hoc committee Marion and Stan began in Hawaii within the structure of Alcoholics Anonymous. I was extremely excited about this committee, because I believed it would be the way that we in Alcoholics Anonymous in Southern California, but eventually everywhere in Alcoholics Anonymous, could help the elder untreated alcoholics. It would be a way to carry the message to the older alcoholic. I asked Marion and Stan to add me to their email list. In addition, my area chairperson also participated in that roundtable and believed in the great need and the benefit of this committee and supported all of us who wanted to form an ad hoc committee in Area 9, Mid-Southern California. The Ad Hoc Cooperation with the Elder Community Committee was formed. I had the humble experience of being appointed a chairperson of this new committee, and we were off and running. The Hawaii Cooperation with the Elder Community Committee has been unbelievably helpful and supportive and encouraging. They have shared all of their research and workbooks and guidelines, in other words, all of their experience, strength, and hope as they trudge the road to happy destiny in this subject. This year, both the Hawaii CEC and the Mid-Southern California CEC committees were voted in as standing committees by their respective area assemblies. We've just begun to reach out and carry the message to older alcoholics. We hope very much many other CEC committees will form and follow along across the country and perhaps across the world. We believe CEC is a wonderful way to carry the message to the older alcoholic. This is an invisible epidemic. Medi-Cal, because they have finally added up the money that they spend on treating older alcoholics, has this year approved payment for screening of alcoholism. It's the first time. because of the trailblazing that Marion and Stan B. have done, we can continue to carry the message to older alcoholics in many different ways. I am very grateful for the opportunity to reach out and be able to carry the message to the older alcoholic through the efforts of cooperation with the elder community. In conjunction with cooperation with the professional community, public information, we'll be reaching out to nursing homes, assisted living homes, senior centers, giving presentations to healthcare providers, establishing meetings in nursing homes and assisted living homes for older adults, alcoholics. Today, in developed countries, 1 in 7 people are 65 years or older. In 2035, 30 years from now, 1 in 4 people will be 65 or older, 25% of the population. And, of course, due to many reasons, we're all of us living longer. If the need is great today, and it is, the need will be huge in the next few years. Many of us will be a part of that generation. I hope very much that we can follow the steps of all who have come before us and continue to establish new ways and improve upon the old ways of carrying the message to older alcoholics. I want the hand of AA always to be there, and for that I am responsible. I want to let you know that if anyone wants to reach us, I have a website address that you can come up and get at the end of our meeting today, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart for allowing me to be of service.
Thank you, Michael, very much. For literature, there is also literature in the SOS Sobriety Over 60 room at the Intercontinental. And our third panelist, not last but not least by any means, is Mallory from, and I've forgotten just a moment, Mallory from Florida, Mallory B.
Wow. My name is Mallory, and I am an alcoholic. Grateful to be sober today through the grace of God and the fellowship of this program. That's you. You are my lifeline. My sobriety date is September 22nd, 1989. My home group is the Early Big Book Group of Sarasota, Florida. We meet on Monday night at 7 o'clock. We're a closed meeting, but we always welcome visitors, so please stop by if you're ever in the area. I am so thrilled to be at my first international convention here in Toronto, and I thank all of Toronto and all of you Canadians who are hosting us so beautifully and giving us such a spectacular time. I'm truly humbled to be a panel participant. I was asked by Beth D., who is our Area 15 Panel 54 delegate, truly a lady of service and a friend, to be on the panel, and when she told me the topic, carrying the message to the older alcoholic, and mentioned that she thought I had some experience, my reply is, well, I am one. But not only am I older, I've been very privileged to work locally in my district and also at the area level with the Special Needs Committee, previously called Accessibilities. I'm not sure if all of you are familiar with Special Needs Committees or not, but I'd like to read you our statement of purpose because it sort of connects with why I'm up here. Our statement of purpose reads, by spiritual guidance, the Special Needs Committee explores, develops, and offers alternatives to making the AA message and participation in our program available to everyone who reaches out for it, in particular to those with special needs. AAs with special needs include, but are not limited to, persons who are mobility impaired, learning impaired, blind or visually impaired, deaf or hard of hearing, chronically ill, home or hospital bound, the elderly, and single parent. Beth also explained to me when we talked that this participation today could include collective experience, and that's what you're really going to hear. I've asked many special AA members and friends to share with me their thoughts and their experience. And I'm so very grateful to each and every one of them for their support in helping me make this presentation possible. I also couldn't go without thanking my sponsors, all of them, years before today, and in particular my sponsees, who keep me on the right track. So who is the older alcoholic? Personally, finding the fellowship at 45 years old, I felt very old. The wonder of this program is I feel younger inside today than I ever did on arrival. A previous sponsor I was once blessed to have calls AA a youth elixir, and I believe in that. There are two types of alcoholism found in the older people. Early onset, which are alcoholics who have been drinking for most of their adult life, and they account for two-thirds of older alcoholics. The remaining third, as Ron alluded to, are the late onset, who began drinking excessively later in life for various reasons. The good news is, as you heard before, older alcoholics have a high rate of recovery once acceptance has happened. They have found truth in the statement, you don't have to drink anymore. Our 2004 AA membership survey, which actually is in the most recent grapevine, lists 39.4% of the membership as being 51 to 70 years old. Statistics provided by the Sarasota Coalition on Substance Abuse, which is one of the professional groups that I went to for information, refers to an older person as one 50 years old or above. Alarming facts, some of them you've heard. Numbers of adults 50 and over needing treatment for alcohol and other drug use will go from 1.7 million in 2001 to 4.4 million in 2020. That's not long off. 3 million Americans above the age of 60 are alcoholic or have some sort of drinking problem. In my county of Sarasota in 2003, 275 of reported DUIs were attributed to those over 50 years old. 32% of all traffic fatalities for that year were also alcohol-related. Statewide, one-third of Florida's alcohol-related deaths were among persons 60 or older. A fellow AA member and friend who now teaches in this field put it simply, this is the hidden generation. In preparing for this panel, I researched and received many statistics, which I'm happy to share later on. But this panel, as was mentioned over and over, is about how to get the message to the older alcoholic. Certainly appropriate was the theme of our international convention today with the responsibility clause. There are two categories I'd like to speak about. The older person with the alcohol problem who has not found us, and then the older AA member, I call long-timer, who because of aging problems no longer feels as much a part of our fellowship and its message. How do we reach the potential AA member? We must always keep in mind our traditions, which remind us that it's attraction rather than promotion. We do have a primary purpose to carry the message to the still suffering alcoholic, and probably most importantly, the only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. Though our enthusiasm and gratitude for our new way of life is something we want to share with all, we cannot force AA on anyone. I know that wouldn't have worked for me. So what are some of the ways we can provide a solution? I believe our greatest attraction is us, each one of us, living a day at a time, our 12 steps. We never know who is aware of our recovery. I know of family members who have asked a recovering member for their help and concern of a loved one, work colleagues, and even professionals who rely on the fellowship to make a difference in changing the outcome of our disease. As we will all experience and have no control over, our lives as we age do change. Some of the physical changes have already been mentioned, decline in blood flow, metabolism, liver function, body mass. Oftentimes, these conditions result in needs for the use of various medications. When one couples medications with increased alcohol intake, all sorts of potential situations arise. Psychologically and emotionally, older adults are exposed to loss, a spouse or significant other, extended family or friends, a job, a home. Isolation then becomes a reality. Depression may occur, and the person feels an ever-decreasing sense of self-worth. Again, alcohol may become a temporary solution. Spiritually, with all this change, as one member who's age 64 and has 18 months of sobriety shared with me, I got mad at God. It was only through youth that I found I was the one that left. With age, our old beliefs and faith can become challenged. What becomes of older adults who live through this? The U.S. government spends $60 billion treating alcohol and medically related illnesses. Our Medicare dollars spent for alcohol-related hospital charges alone totaled more than $233 million. Medicare only covers detox in a hospital. Proportionately, there are very few treatment centers with elder programs because of the facility's inability to meet the needs of a frail older alcoholic, or costs may be on one's means. We are blessed to have one treatment center on the east coast of Florida, which has a very successful elder program. The drawback, it costs $48,000. Counseling also has limitations by personal finances and insurance or lack of, and the individual may be very aware that there is a greater stigma to substance abuse in the senior population. We in AA can become an effective resource. I believe we have an obligation to do so. Referring again to the 2004 AA membership survey, the factor most responsible for a member coming into AA is through another member. First, we can be there just for that person, to listen, to answer any questions, share our experience, strength, and hope, introduce some of our very appropriate AA literature. One of my favorites is called Time to Start Living. It's all stories by those in the older population who have found our way of life. There's also a great new story in our fourth edition of the Big Book. It's called A Late Start, and I really encourage you to read that. Offer accompaniment to meetings, especially open speaker meetings where we could all identify in the beginning. We must be respectful, though, of the fear and denial we all once knew as a prospective member. As most of us know, alcohol use is not always enjoyable. Conversely, we must not fear to approach someone who we might think needs help. My sponsor reminds me, you can't say anything wrong if the time is right, and you can't say anything right if the time is wrong. I need to take a drink of water. God has a sense of humor in allowing me to be up here. Several districts in our area have been very successful in carrying the message by contacting nursing homes, extended care facilities, senior living quarters, making them aware of local AA meetings and help in getting an individual to a meeting. One district focuses on communication with the social worker or person responsible for the intake records and admission to a facility. Their committee has asked that the intake include inquiry as to previous AA affiliation and the desire to continue that affiliation. If the answer is yes, contact is made with that committee and they follow up with the individual. My own district plans to recirculate this sort of generic flyer we have, and I've left some in the back, and it merely says when alcohol is your problem and you have trouble with vision, hearing, mobility, and language, call us for help, and it gives our central office line. Cooperation working hand-in-hand with PICPC is helping to educate our medical community has also been successful. In some districts, they have compiled sort of a do-you-know type packet, which gives information and literature about alcoholism and contact information for AA help. The normal or increasing physical needs of an aging person usually requires regular contact or direction of a primary physician. Therefore, the doctor becomes a key figure in helping a person receive the help that we want to give. With education, which AA can assist with, a physician can recognize physical signs, patient defenses, and hopefully adopt a non-judgmental attitude to support the patient and or family members. Now, how do we get the message to our long-timers? Florida, as you may know, is a haven for retirement. I'm on my way. As a result, I feel we are very fortunate to have so many older AA members in our midst. In Sarasota, we have one meeting referred to by many as the dinosaur meeting. The median recovery age there is 25 plus years. What a wonderful resource our old long-timers are. But as stated before, age can bring restraints, and I again believe we have and should want to have a responsibility to make sure that our message continues to be their message. Many area special needs committees have volunteer lists of members available to take older alcoholics with mobility problems to meetings, bring the meetings into a member if they're in the home or hospital or facility bound. Our district has a lending library with audio tapes and large print materials, which a lot of people don't even know about. It should be noted that the latest conference-approved literature catalog has 4 pages of special needs materials. And I don't know about you, but, you know, I'm quite sure and already use some of those large print materials. They're very, very helpful. Many districts have purchased ALDs, which are assisted listening devices, and they are available for special events or just on request. Home groups are encouraged to take responsibility for their older alcoholic members, keeping in contact with them, as well as adapting meeting places to the older needs. Is the meeting place walker and wheelchair accessible? Is there adequate lighting? Are chairs placed in a U or circular pattern for those with hearing needs? Seek out support and perhaps even encourage more meetings, especially for seniors. Our district has a meeting held at the Senior Friendship Center on a Thursday afternoon. An older newcomer shared with me there that he feels safest and most comfortable at a meeting with members of his same age bracket. We truly need to make it possible for the older alcoholic to be present and involved. I'd like to share with you part of a Grapevine article that was published in May of 1955. It's entitled, "Don't Shoot the Old Timer, He's Doing the Best He Can." And I quote, "Still, we are alcoholics too. We're only one drink away from disaster, just as you are. If we don't keep moving in AA, both mentally and physically, we will fail to improve our sobriety. We must remain active to survive and continue. Sometimes the desire for a drink may come just as unexpectedly to us after years of sobriety as it may to someone comparatively new. The latent compulsion is always there, ready for an upsurge. The so-called old-timers need you and your fresh eagerness and enthusiasm for their program. There is really only one thing that an old-timer is reluctant to contemplate, and that is becoming the forgotten man or woman in a group, someone to be taken for granted. He doesn't want that because he needs you and your friendship and understanding to keep on growing." End of quote. Ask any long-timer today, and I imagine he or she would echo the same statements that were made by our predecessors 50 years ago. One of our area districts shared with me that they make a point of putting their older members to work. There's no rest for the weary. Coordinating anniversary nights, chairing meetings, inviting them to participate in business meetings, sharing their wisdom and experience. They also focus time before and after the meetings with the older member so that that person can really feel satisfaction in being a part of, rather than just thinking of the time as a hi, goodbye meeting. There's a very special woman who came into my life when I first moved to Florida. She actually is from Toronto and spends her winters with us in Florida. She has 52 years of sobriety, and she's a very active lady. I'm sure quite a few of you know her. And I'd like to share with you something that she shared with me when I asked for her help with this. She said, "I need to remind you, I don't want you just to say, how are you, but how are you really?" We have an opportunity to be part of a miracle. In helping to give back a life to another alcoholic, we have helped to make a life worth living again. Finally, I would like to propose an idea, maybe a challenge, to each person present today. When you return home, find an older alcoholic and adopt him or her as your LTF, long-timer friend. Call that person frequently. Go to meetings together. Offer whatever physical, spiritual, and emotional support you can. Learn and grow together. The first word in our 12 steps is so important, we. A quote from our pamphlet, Too Young, states, alcoholism is an illness, not an age. One of the certainties in life is death, and most of us will grow old. I have proved to myself that no matter what my age, I cannot stay sober alone. I now know that that will never change. Alone, I will be the person I was. With my higher power in you, I can be who I want to be. I pray I always will have the desire to receive your message. And I pray even more that you and I will always have the love to give it. I thank you for allowing me the honor and privilege to be sharing with you today.
Thank you, Mallory, and a special thanks to each and every one of our panelists. I guess the message is that we are responsible. The man used to be, the lady that, for some of you who don't know, the lady she was referring to is 52 years from Toronto, is K.H., our beloved clown lady. There are a couple of people here I want to acknowledge, Stan and Marion B. from Hawaii, who really have got this sobriety over 60 movement going. And they're sitting here. I'll probably get in trouble for bringing it up, but I thought they should be mentioned. There's a fellow around Toronto who used to have 10 two-letter words that seem very apt here. It says, if it is to be, it is up to me. So maybe we can keep that in mind. Again, a reminder about the first annual Sober Over 60 conference in Hawaii. I know nobody wants to go to Hawaii. There are yellow pamphlets at the back. There's other literature at the back. Please feel free to come up and speak with our panelists after. If you go to the SOS room, in the Humber room in the Intercontinental Hotel, there is literature pertaining to this, all kinds of literature there. There is a workbook stating the purpose of the Sobriety Over 60 or cooperation with the elder community information and direction. And just before we close with the Our Father, I would like to remind everybody, or I would like to share with everybody, the shortest version of the 12 steps that I've ever heard. It's on page 164 of the Big Book. It says, abandon yourself to God as you understand God, steps 1, 2, and 3. Admit your faults to Him and your fellows, steps 4, 5, 6, and 7. Clear away the records of the past, steps 8 and 9. It says, give freely in what you find and join us, steps 10, 11, and 12. It goes on to say, we shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Could we close with the Our Father, please? Who never misses a meeting? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Thanks to everyone.